Mark chapter number 10 is preaching time. Here for just a little bit, if you're willing and able, would you stand with us? Won't be long standing. Amen. We'll see how long the Lord lets us preach this morning. Mark chapter number 10, as we begin a new chapter here in our study. I think we started this 2 years ago. The life of Christ according to the gospel record of Mark. And want to deal with this first verse. I thought we'd take out maybe a bigger section. I was sharing with my wife on last night. I've not been able to get over verse number 1. And it ain't going to mean maybe a whole lot to you when I read it, but I hope when we get done expounding on it this morning that it'll be a challenge to your heart today. The Bible said, "And he arose from thence, and cometh in the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan." Notice what the Bible says here in the middle of the verse. "And the people resort unto him again." And listen how the verse ends. "And as he was wont, he taught them again." They resort unto him. The people resort unto him again. And he took that as another opportunity to teach them again. But Lord, to help me, I thought maybe I'd give you the thought here in a little bit. Let me go ahead and give you what I'm preaching on, and we'll see if the Lord will help us today. I want to speak to you, teach to you, or preach to you today on the thought, "Teach me again, Lord." Teach me again, Lord. You can be seated. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're thankful for the word of the Lord. We're thankful for the house of our God that we can enter into this morning. We have learned again this week, Lord, that we ought not take this for granted. And Lord, when we're not able to be here for whatever the reason, Lord, it affects us. And Lord, we miss it and we have a longing. And Lord, feel like we're missing some sort of blessing. And Lord, we know that, Lord, our relationship with you goes beyond this place and a physical location and building. But Lord, we are thankful for this place and what it represents. Lord, I pray for just a moment now in this time of our assembly and gathering around the Word of God. Would you bring it to life? Lord, I pray it would not be just another drab, boring lesson, but Lord, may it indeed be spirit and life, Lord, our spiritual man. Lord, the things we feel like you've laid upon our heart, Lord, to say from this very verse, Lord, has challenged me and Lord has been a blessing to me. And I pray that, Lord, you turn that into a blessing for these that have made their way here this morning. And may Jesus be magnified. May our discipleship be grown. Lord, I pray that this service, this message, this time together, Lord, would accomplish the very will of God for our lives, Lord, in this place. And for all that you do for us, we'll bless you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We've read just the opening verse this morning, and this single verse just seems to be a simple statement about how the Lord got from one place to another, and the events and the encounters and the lessons and the miracles that are going to take place in the remainder of chapter number 10. They hinge upon this single verse getting the Lord to where he is headed. But really, this single verse, if I could say it this way this morning, really is a commentary of all of the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break this verse down into three sections, and it'll get us to the last part or the second half that we really want to preach upon. But it's a commentary of all the life and ministry of Christ. I see that in the advancement that is mentioned in the opening of this verse. "And he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan." The Lord, as we have read and began his earthly ministry going all the way back to Mark chapter number 1, what we find is the Lord rarely, if ever, lets any grass grow under his feet. He's always in action. He's always on the move. There's always another person that he is going to encounter, another city that he wants to witness in, another group of people that needs his ministry.
whether that is going all the way to Tyre and Sidon, the further northwest border of the land of Israel, or as we'll see as we study chapter 10, all the way to the scene of Calvary later on in the Gospel of Mark, the southern end, the Lord's ministry was constantly advancing throughout the kingdom and the country of Israel. Particularly in this place, let me just note this, he arose from thence and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. We know from chapter number 9 and verse number 33 that chapter number 9 and the end of it takes place in that town of Capernaum. The Lord has been to Capernaum many, many times. That is the northern section of the land of Israel in Christ's time. And it was known as the region of Galilee. That is where the Lord would spend the majority of his earthly ministry. And we have studied that thus far. But what we find is in verse number 1, he arose from thence. This indicates the end of Jesus' ministry or focus of ministry in Galilee. And now we find the beginning of his Judean ministry. This brings him now, Brother Mike, into the southern part of the land of Israel. And he's going to spend his days down there, the last days of his ministry. And he's going to do the same thing in the southern part he did in the northern part. Ain't you glad the same gospel that works for Yankees works for hillbillies? Amen. And it works, my friend, in the north, in the south, in the east, in the west. And the gospel, amen, is still advancing in, throughout our world and in our generation. I don't want to dive into this. I'm not even sure that I'm ready to do that. I'm contemplating some things that are made statement of in verse number 1 concerning the advancement, this picture and commentary of all the life of the Lord. But in very particular terms, Mark notes how the Lord got from Galilee to Judea. Said he arose from thence, Capernaum, and cometh into the coast of Judea by the farther side of Jordan. If I could explain it this way, you'll remember Capernaum is on the northwest side of the Sea of Galilee. But Judea brings you down, and it references the Jordan River. And that the Lord left Capernaum, and he came down, and he's going to cross into Judea from the farther side, that is the eastern side of Jordan. He will cross, and he will go into Judea. What you'll find later on in chapter number 10, that the Lord is going to very briefly make his way to Jericho. And I found that interesting that the Lord from Capernaum must have crossed over the Jordan somewhere either on the north or the southern side, the Sea of Galilee. He's going to make his way through Gentile territory down into an area just above and to the east of the Dead Sea known as Perea. And in Perea, he is there from that farther side of Jordan. And some say that the Lord could have spent several weeks to several months in a Perean ministry that we don't even have a record of. And I have no problem believing that. John said there's a lot of things the Lord did in a lot of places that we can't even write about. If we did, the volumes of books that it would take, the world could not even contain them. But he came down through that Gentile area, and he's going to cross over evidently somewhere near Jericho. And my mind immediately went, Brother Tim, to this would have put the Lord crossing the Jordan River in likely the same spot or at least the same area that the children of Israel crossed over when they came into Canaan's land. And that you talk about a picture of advancement when Israel came into the kingdom. I'm glad the Lord, he advanced his people in the Old Testament. And then when he came, we see again in this verse an advancement of the gospel, an advancement of his kingdom, an advancement of truth and of light into a very dark region of the southern portion of Israel. And so we see advancement. Quickly, number 2, I see a commentary of the Lord's entire ministry in this verse, not only an advancement, but an attraction. The Bible said here, and the people resort unto him again. And we know this, studying the Lord's life, these first 9 chapters we've covered verse by verse. And it could be easily said, the Lord had a ministry that attracted crowds. We've read of crowds and multitudes, and we've read statements of many people and much people. And again, in Mark 10, 1, we see there is an attraction of the people to the Lord in His earthly life and ministry. And may I say to you and I, especially that are saved and know the Lord, as Brother Riley testified of his experience at Walmart on last evening, that religion in many ways may be poison, but a relationship with Christ, it is medication for the soul. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, I have more than religion. I'm glad that I know who the Lord is, and my soul one day was attracted to Him and wanted to follow Him and come to Him and be with Him. And I'm glad that I know Him today. Amen. I say with the bride of the Song of Solomon about her beloved, that my Savior is fairer than 10,000 to my soul. Amen. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He is the one at whom my soul is drawn to. Amen. And so there is the advancement and the attraction. But notice with me where we want to get today, the admonition. The admonition, this verse simply ends, and as he was wont, he taught them again. As he was wont, he taught them again. He gave them admonition. He communicated and instructed to them spiritual light and spiritual truth that he felt compelled that they needed to live by. And he taught them again. In regard to this teaching, this verse simply states, as he was wont. And that's not a word that you use. Being from East Tennessee, you don't use the word wont. So let me define it for you this morning. As he was wont simply means to be used to. Or to be accustomed to. I'm just used to preaching. This is how I'm used to preaching. We have some folk who watch our live stream from time to time that they're not accustomed to my style and kind of preaching. And I understand it ain't for everybody. And in East Tennessee, the good thing is you can shake a bush and 10 different churches will fall out. And you can find a church of your choosing and a preacher that'll fit the style that you want to hear. And this just meant that this was how the Lord was used to teaching, used to doing, accustomed to ministering. His ministry was not just doing miracles. In fact, he did a lot of miracles. That was a great part of his ministry. But as he was wont, he was not wont necessarily to do miracles. He was wont to give instruction and teaching, and he taught them again. This is revealing, as he was one, is revealing that teaching was his custom and his manner. It was the emphasis of his earthly life. And then a day, by the way, and we've emphasized this before, let me say it again. And in a day of religion that seems to be emphasizing miracles, amen, we need to get back to emphasizing the message. Not against miracles. My God still has all the same power He's ever had. I've watched Him do miracles. I've watched Him as He heard and answered prayer and done the impossible. I've watched Him amaze His own children. I've watched Him amaze doctors. I have watched Him amaze in the most amusing ways of situations, where He done things that all you could do was sit back and say, and this is a miracle of God. But if you get a miracle and you don't have a message, my friend, you'll bust hell wide open. If you get a miracle and you don't get a hold of the message and be told of the Lord, Your spiritual life will suffer. Amen. All you'll be is an emotional basket case. Amen. And so the Lord emphasized and made of great importance, of greatest importance, a fact that as he was one, he taught them again. Amen. This has been emphasized all through Mark's gospel record. Let me take a moment. My message is not long, but I do want to take the time to walk you through these first nine chapters again to rehearse a few things. Look back in Mark chapter number 1. We'll do it quickly. I won't do a whole lot of commenting, maybe other than this first one. The Bible said in Mark chapter number 1 in verse 21 and 22, and they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue. What'd he do? And taught. Verse number 22 gives us an indication of how that teaching was received or understood by the ones that he taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. And so when, and this is the beginning, the launching of his earthly ministry. And what did he do? The first thing he did was preach and he taught. He preached and he taught. He preached and he taught. And when he began to open the word of God to them, Brother Ryan, and began to teach them, there was an astonishment that hit that crowd. They were used to the rabbis and all their long, drawn out, historical, boring messages. Full of intellect, full of the amusing of education. When the Lord opened the scripture and the Lord began to teach them, there was something inside of him that reached out and laid hold of their heart and laid hold of their mind. And for the first time in a long time, they're not dozing off and going to sleep. They're not counting the ceiling tiles and they're not looking around and wondering and daydreaming about what they're going to eat on the morrow and what they're going to do on the week. They are astonished at his doctrine. Why? Because when he taught as one that had authority. And I love what Mark said, and not as the scribes. We'll say this morning, when the Lord opened his mouth and taught, it was with authority, it was with excitement, it was with such passion and love for truth that it was conveyed to the people that that there is something different about this man and his teaching, what he is teaching and how he is teaching it, and the force behind the teaching that he is doing, that and it marked a great distinction between that is real and that they had been used to by the scribes. So the Lord was one who is wont to teach. We see it in the opening of Mark. Look with me in chapter number 2 and in verse number 13. And immediately arose, took up the bed, and as the palsy man led down through the roof of the house. And that miracle went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. And he went forth again by the seaside. And all the multitude resorted unto him. Sound like our text, doesn't it? And he taught them. In chapter number 4 and in verse number 2, we find that chapter contained the Lord's parable of the sower. It just simply said in verse number 2, and he taught them many things by parables and said unto them in his doctrine. Look with me in chapter number 6, hastening on, and in verse number 2, and when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. Look with me in chapter number 6 and in verse number 6. And he marveled because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. Notice with me in chapter number 6 and in verse number 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them, many things. Notice with me in chapter number 8 and in verse number 31. And he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. In chapter number 9 and in verse number 31, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered in the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and after that is killed, he shall rise the third day. And so for 9 chapters, Mark says over and over and over and over, different places, different synagogues, different villages, different towns, different people, Jew and Gentile, his own disciples, and they who were still lost in their sin and their religion. What did the Lord do? He taught them. When we come to chapter number 10 and in verse number 1 again, and as he was wont, he taught them again. Here in Mark 10, 1, they come and they're following the Lord. We'll find this morning they're seeking the Lord, and they come to be taught by Jesus again, and the Lord taught them again. And so that brings us to our thought this morning, simply this: teach me again, Lord. Amen. You have taught me, but Lord, teach me again. Lord, you've gave me so much doctrine, so much truth, so much light. You have changed me through your truth and instruction. But Lord, teach me again. We'll see this morning, I still have not learned all that I need to know. I still, Lord, need you to sit me down and teach me again. Amen. I want to say this morning to the Lord, teach me again, Lord. Oh, that you as a child of God would come to that prayer, would come to that place in your spiritual life and where you had that desire, teach me again, Lord. Lord, let me find you and seek you out and simply sit at your feet. Lord, you've been good to me, but Lord, teach me again. Lord, you've done great miracles and answered great prayers, but Lord, teach me again. Lord, would you open your mouth and communicate and instruct to me? One more time, teach me again, Lord. I want to say this morning, ain't nobody ever taught me like the Lord taught me. Amen. By the way, nobody ever taught and has taught like the Lord can teach. In fact, I thought about this, and Jesus taught so often and effectively in his life and ministry that when Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus, do you remember what John 3 and in verse number 2 said? Nicodemus said, Rabbi, he said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. In other words, Nicodemus is acknowledging the emphasis that you put on teaching truth, the emphasis that you place upon the Word of God. The effect by which you teach and communicate and in your teaching you expose truth and you expose error. One thing we know, we may not like you. Amen. We may crucify you before it's over. We all been talking and we have come to the acknowledgement that thou art a teacher come from God. And I say the Lord in his earthly life and ministry, he was indeed a teacher come from God. Amen. He was sent to communicate divine truth. Amen. And so he is a teacher come from God. Somebody said, well, that was 2,000 years ago in his earthly life and ministry. And now he's not here, but I want you to understand this morning that there is a spiritual sense in which the children of God as disciples are still being taught by Jesus today. Can I read you a verse, several verses in Ephesians chapter number 4? And in verse number 20, how Paul has just rebuked the church about not walking as Gentiles walk, and in darkness and in ignorance, and in a callousness toward godliness, and living your life in sin and uncleanness. Here's what he said in verse number 20, "But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. And what have we been taught? What have we heard? If you have heard him, if you have been taught by him, and Tim, here's what Paul said Christ is teaching. And you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." The thought that I want to make this morning is simply this. I know the Lord is not walking among us in a physical sense. I understand that he has died and he has been buried and he has rose again. I understand that he's in the right hand of the throne of God today. And if you are saved and you're a child of God, and salvation comes with a call to be a disciple, and Paul said he's still speaking, he can still be heard, and you ought to still be being told of him. Problem with our generation is you can't teach them nothing. They're a bunch of folk in foolishness and ignorance, and even the Lord Jesus Christ himself can teach them nothing. And can I say that's not the cry of the heart of a true child of God who wants to be the best child of God that they can be, and seeks to live a life of discipleship? We understand that the Lord is still, that we are still being taught by Jesus, and we can still hear him. What did he say in John 10? He said that my sheep hear my voice and they know my voice, and they follow me. I think about what John the Beloved said. If I can read this verse to you in 1 John and chapter number 2 and in verse number 27. He said, "But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things," amen, "the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth and no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him." And so there is this thing of, yes, the Lord is in heaven, but the day you got saved, you entered a spiritual realm that your former life knew nothing of. And now the Lord is still teaching his own. We have received an anointing. We believe that to be the unction of the Holy Ghost inside. What did the Lord say? He said, "I'm going back to the Father." He said, "But I'm going to pray the Father, and he's going to send the Comforter unto you. And when he comes, he will teach you all things." Amen. If you're saved this morning, you have the ability to be taught of the Lord. And when John said that you don't have need that any man should teach you, he's not downplaying, amen, the fact that the Lord gave us pastors and teachers, amen, to instruct us and to teach us. And in many ways, that's part of the way the Lord teaches you and I. But the fact is, there is one on the inside, amen. He will teach you what you need to know so you can live a godly life that the Lord has saved you to live. So I have been taught, I have heard, but I come to the Lord today, and I come before you this morning to preach and to challenge our heart about the matter. Teach me again, Lord. Preacher, I've been saved so many years. I have learned so many things. I can quote all the names in the books in the Bible. That I know so many X amount and dozens or hundreds or even thousands of verses by memory. And preacher, I can quote doctrines. And I can reference this and that. And I've learned by study. And yet this morning there ought to be something in every child of God. No matter how long you've been saved, what you think you know, how great you and measured that you have been taught, that you would say, teach me again, Lord. I want to sit at your feet. I want to bask in your presence. I want to learn in your classroom. I want to be schooled by the master, the rabbi, the teacher of all teachers. Lord, teach me again. If you ever reach a place, and I may be getting ahead of myself, let me just interject it and then I'm off. I got four things to give you and we go in the house. Amen. But if you ever reach a place in your life and you lose sight and you lose the prayer, teach me again, Lord. Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, teach me again. Lord, I need more wisdom. Ain't you glad that James wrote in James chapter number 1, and if any man lack wisdom, anybody in here ever felt that way? I don't know what to do. I don't know what to think. I don't know how to operate. I don't know what direction to go in. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Let him ask of God, teach me again, Lord. Teach me again, Lord. I need your wisdom. Teach me again. And James promised, and if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. I'm glad, thank God, he is willing to teach us. I'm glad he's been willing in days gone by to teach. And I'm glad that he's willing. If I am willing, he's willing to teach me again. But somebody's got to acknowledge and admit I lack wisdom. I'm preaching today. I don't have anybody in mind. I'm just preaching to the generation. And if the shoe fits, you'll have to wear it. But some of y'all's problem is you think you're so wise. You've not yet come to the place where you realize how small and insignificant and ignorant that human beings can really be. Oh, you realize it in everybody else's life? And so you think you have attained all there is to attain concerning spirituality, concerning the Word of God. But my friend, God, help us to humble down today and say, teach me again, Lord. Teach me again, Lord. Lord, I do lack wisdom. There are areas that I know that I have room to grow in. And to know, and sure, you've grown to the place where, and you ought to, and Paul dealt with it, that there were converts in the crowd that he wrote to in Hebrews. He said that there's been enough time that it's gone by wherein ye ought to be teachers, but you have need that one teach you again. Amen. I want to be growing. I want to be growing to the place where the Lord can take my life and give me something that he can use through me, amen, to be a source of instruction to others. But the greatest teachers understand they still need to be taught. Teach me again, Lord. Teach me again. Let me give you four things. You say, preacher, there ain't no way there's four things in that verse that you can talk about in regard to this. Well, just wait. Amen. Number one, consider this in this thought. Teach me again, Lord. I see the focus. There is the focus that I see that is in this text. And we'll back up. The Bible said, and the people resort unto him again. They resort unto him again. Teach me again, Lord. If we're going to be taught again, our focus must be upon the Lord. Amen. The word resort that is used here, it doesn't mean they went down to some timeshare vacation destination. Amen. They resort unto him. Simply means to assemble or to accompany. It's implying that they sought after and were journeying with the Lord. Simply put, Brother Riley, he was their focus. If we're going to be taught, if we're going to be discipled, if we're going to be schooled by our Savior, then we're going to have to get our eyes off everything and everyone else, all of the downfalls and the heartbreaks and the letdowns and the disappointments and the betrayals and all the things that we get so easily distracted with, and get our eyes back on the Lord again. Amen. So many I see today, their life is going in every other direction. Amen. They don't even know all the directions their life has been split up. And they're trying to learn this, and they're trying to figure this out. My friend, the solution all of that in the heart of the child of God, amen, is to resort unto Jesus again. And get your eyes upon the Lord again. Amen. Begin to seek after closing the gap and walking in close relationship with him again. Amen. He was their focus. Notice with me, I see in this text, maybe you will or won't, I see it, but I note the link of them coming to Jesus again and his, as the verse said, teaching them again. Why did he teach them again? I think we could say this morning he taught them again because that was their own heart's desire. That's why they came to him again. They realize he has departed. They realize he has left the building. He has packed up the classroom. He's now moving on. There was something in their heart. It was a desire. And they wanted him to teach them again. And they didn't know it all. They needed his instruction. They needed his help. They needed light to live by. And so their focus is, we want to be with him. It's not his job to come thump us in the head. Amen. Some of y'all waiting on the Lord to thump you in the head and make you do right. And he ain't ever done that, and he ain't going to do that. Amen. You're going to have to arrange your focus and get your heart's desire right with him and seek him again that he may teach you again. Amen. Somebody said, I don't know how to kick this habit. I don't know how to overcome this addiction. Buddy, I'm telling you, we're living in a world of addiction. And I tell you today, amen, and we always talk about the booze and the drugs, but it's a whole lot more addictions going on than that. Amen. Let me tell you something, you're going to break the power of sin in your life. Amen, the only way you're going to learn to do that is be taught of the Savior. Amen. Teach me again, Lord, my focus has got to be upon him. I see in this verse the focus, but notice with me this morning the furtherance. The furtherance. The Bible said, notice, and here's where we get our word this morning. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And I told you I had 4 points, and we kind of linked the word again into the first one. But these next 3 points will be derived from this word again. And the first is simply that it implies the furtherance. Again, simply meaning furthermore or once more. Furthermore or once more. Simply put, this morning, there was more for them to learn and to be taught in. There was more that needed to be said. There was deeper things. They needed to hear what they had already heard again and in deeper ways and in greater ways and unfolded again to them. bringing them further into the light, further into the truth, further in the application of both. So they came to him and he taught them again. I've already said it, I won't belabor the point this morning, but you don't know all there is to know about God in this book. You don't know all there is to know about spirituality and living for God. I'm preaching this morning, don't get mad at me, but I'm going to say it anyway. I'm not preaching to anybody who is the standard. You're still learning, you still have need to be taught. If we would ever understand, I need the Lord to take me further. Amen. I'm glad I can say today he's brought me a mighty long way. Hallelujah. I give him the glory. I'm glad I ain't as dumb as I used to be. I'm glad he's brought me a mighty long way since he saved me. Amen. I never dreamed when I got saved that he would unfold to me the doctrines in this book and knowledge of God. Amen. He's brought me a mighty long way. I'd have come to say today, teach me again, Lord, as good as it's been. I give you all the glory of what is there I still have not come into contact with? What is there I'm still ignorant of? A knowledge of God, might I be able to be taught today and would bless me in greater ways and develop my relation with Him and shim closer to Him? Today there is the furtherance that is involved. Lord, teach me again. Are you satisfied with where you are? If you are, you won't say, Lord, teach me again. You'll be like the little wooden Indians I preach to every week around here. That crowd that understands, yeah, I've come a mighty long way, but I still have a mighty long way to go. Come in saying, teach me again, Lord. Amen. Teach me on Monday and teach me on Tuesday. Teach me on Wednesday and Wednesday nights and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And Lord, teach me on your Lord's Day as we come in the house of God. Lord, teach me again. Bring me further along than I could have ever dreamed I could be. Teach me again. The focus, the furtherance. Number three, the facing. Buckle your seatbelt for a minute. Against. Again, here just simply means against. It comes from the same idea. Again, he taught them again. Also means on the other hand. On the other hand, implying, listen to this, implying something in opposition to or contrary to the truth that Jesus taught. He taught them again, there is the facing that is involved. This word again implies, listen to this, I don't mean to get so in the weeds, I'm not trying to, let me try to keep it practical. But the word against, if you do a word study, again, if you do a word study on it, it implies an antithesis. Now, that's a big word for a hillbilly preacher to use. When I saw that in the word study, it said an antithesis. Well, I kind of thought I knew what it was, but I went to the Webster's and had to define the word that I found in my word study. Here's what an antithesis is. How many of y'all think you're brave enough to define it in front of everybody? Amen. There'd be a few of y'all could. An antithesis is, simply put, Webster said, an opposition of words and instruction. When he taught them again, there is a sense we can apply that to the fact that the Lord in his teaching, he was bringing them face to face with truth that was contrary to the error they either believed in or were living by. And you see that all throughout the Lord's earthly ministry. He'll make statements like, ye have heard it said of old time. You believe this, but here is the light and the truth on the matter. They had been instructed in all their commandments of men and traditions of the elders that had been passed down that they had embraced as truth. But when Jesus came and taught them what he was doing, he was giving them something that made them come face to face with the light of truth. The facing. Oh boy. We're going to say and have in reality, teach me again, Lord. People must be willing to let the Lord, y'all ready for this? Square off against those things that stand in opposition to his word and work in our life. Here's why some folk will not say, teach me again, Lord, or if they say it, the Lord can teach them nothing. They have the Lord walled off from being able to square off against those areas of our lives that he desires to confront. Now I'm telling you, I want the Lord to teach me again. But that involves a facing. We must. Here's how I wrote it down. We must be willing to face our lives with his teaching. By the way, if I understand the Word of God correctly, there's coming a time for every child of God that we all must appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to face him one day. Amen. You're coming face to face with him one day. Now, I would rather do that. I believe I mean that this morning. I'm trying to mean it. I'm trying to mean what I'm preaching to you. I'm trying to mean it in my own life. I'd rather come face to face with him today in instruction. Let him reprove my life today so that he don't have to rebuke my life at the judgment seat of Christ. I believe that's right. Amen. There's a verse. Let me see if I can find this. If you want to look there, I think it's Jeremiah. Let me see here. Jeremiah 33. No. 32. Look in Jeremiah 32. I noted this verse. I didn't write it down, but I feel like the Lord just put it back in my mind to give to you right here. Listen to this, this indictment the Lord makes concerning this thought. Jeremiah 32, verse number 33. If you're there, say amen. Amen. I got a handful. And they, this is the Lord speaking, they, his people, they have turned unto me the back and not the face. Though I taught them, rising up early and teaching them, yet they have not hearkened to receive instruction. Is that not a powerful verse, Brother Tim? You know what the Lord just said? He said, I can't teach you anything so long as you have your back turned to me and are not willing to come face to face with truth. So many in our day say, I'm all right, I'm okay. I don't need all that preaching. I don't need all that hollering. I don't need all that King James Bible. I have no need of instruction. And really what they're saying is, I don't want to come face to face with the truth. But you'll never be taught again. You don't turn your face to the Lord, sit down as a good disciple, a good student in the schoolhouse of the Savior. Sit there and pay attention and receive the instruction. And if your life is contrary to the light of truth, amen, Brother Micah Henson, I believe, wrote the song. I think it's Brother Micah. I may be wrong. I may have it wrong, but he has sung the song anyway. about the Word of God. And there's a line in the song that he sung or wrote about the Bible. He said, if you find when you read it that there's something wrong, brother, there's something wrong with you. There ain't no errors in the Bible. There's nothing wrong with living a godly, holy life. There's nothing wrong with being instructed in righteousness. If you find when you read the Word of God that something is contrary, it is not God, it is not the Master, it is not the teaching that is wrong, brother, there's something wrong with me and you. We'll come in face to face with truth and the Word and the work that God is doing in our life. You know what we have? We have a Savior that is willing to rise early. He's willing to rise often. He's willing to rise again and to face us and to show us those areas of our life that need instruction. Amen. Anybody else here feel like I do? I'm actually thankful for it. I'm not always happy about it. But as I stand and teach this and preach this to you today, you know what I'm thankful for? My God, He don't let me go on and on and on and on and on without telling me that's wrong in your life. You don't need to do that. You need that out. You need this in. Come on now. I'm actually pretty happy about it. I'm watching some people's lives fall apart because they know nothing about what's being taught today. Their life just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And I'm not setting myself up as a standard. I'm just saying, Lord, thank you that you work in my life. Thank you for putting and developing within me a heart and a love for truth and light. And I want to live by it. I want to be taught again. It ain't always comfortable when the Lord, amen, confronts you. What did Paul say about the Word of God? He said, for the Word of God, amen, it is given by inspiration of God. And it is profitable. What is it profitable for? It is profitable for doctrine. It is profitable for reproof. It is profitable for correction. And he said, last of all, it is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Some have broke it down, that whole list of four things of the profitability of the Word of God. When he teaches you again and you have to face the Word of God, it tells you what's right. It tells you what's wrong. It tells you how to get right what has been wrong, and it shows you how to stay right after God's made you right again. Glory to God. Thank God. Amen. With the perfect scripture, Brother Mary, and a perfect teacher in the Savior, what more are you looking for? Why do you want a program? Why do you want another ministry? Why would you want some kind of education? And we have all that we need if we'll just be faced with where we are in the teaching of our Savior. Amen. Well, the last point, you can unbuckle your seatbelt. This one's okay. The focus, the furtherance, the facing. Amen. Notice with me, last of all, the freshness. The freshness. In my study of this word again, it can also simply mean, y'all ready for this? Anew. Not correcting the King James Bible, he taught them again there was a newness brought out again as the truth was delivered to their heart. A fresh view, listen, a fresh view of the same old doctrine, the same old truth, the same old story, the same old good news he had preached for 3 years. Amen. I wrote it down. Christ, without doubt, did not change his message for this crowd that had showed up. You said, what did he teach them? When it said he taught them again, that means he taught them the same thing. And he had taught them on yesterday. He taught them the same thing he taught in Capernaum. He taught the same thing in Capernaum. He taught in Tyre and Sidon. He taught the same old truth, the same old doctrine, the same old message, the same good news. And when he taught it again, it was taught with a freshness put upon it again. Glory to God. Oh, teach me again, Lord. I know the old story. I know the blessed old doctrines. I'm grounded in the truths of the Christian life. But Lord, teach me again. Oh, is there anybody here this morning? I'm almost done. Please hear me now. Is there anybody here today that your flesh sometimes begins to get cold and begins to kind of get casual with truth? You know what we need in that time? Teach me again, Lord. Make it fresh to me again. Oh, the old message and lessons and teachings of Calvary, how they one time blessed my soul. How one time we could hear it we couldn't hear it without a tear running off our cheek. How we couldn't, my friend, not hear about salvation and being saved by grace and kept by grace and walking with the Lord without the joy bubbles coming up out of our heart and a hand being lifted in excitement. But oh, if we're not careful, amen, those same things that were one time fresh and blessed us and stirred us and excited us, amen, we'll just, my friend, begin to drudge through the day, amen, and drudge through our Christian life, amen, and we'll just kind of, woe is me. You know what we need? Teach me again, Lord. Amen. Put the tears back on my cheek. Put the joy back in my soul. Amen. Let me hear the same old things, but make them anew again in my life. I'm telling you, the danger in these last days of the church and Christianity is there is a battle every one of us is going to have to face. Amen. With growing cold and lukewarm on God. The last of the seven churches of Asia Minor that John had to write in the book of Revelation to the church of Laodicea, what did the Lord say of them? He said, you're neither hot or cold, you're lukewarm. They'd reached a place where nothing stirred them. More interested in buildings, things, and riches. Church had become nothing more to them than a museum. The Lord said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, he said, I will come in. I'll sup with him and he with me. It's amazing, any time the Lord ever sat down at dinner with people in his earthly life, you know what he always did? He taught. The Lord said, the only thing I can do for the last generation in their existence as church, where they're a museum or religion is a hobby to them. It's just something they do because of heritage sake. And yet they've reached a place where their focus has been wrong. They don't see they need to go further. They don't see that there's a facing that they need to be confronted about where they are. The only thing that will happen and will change them is us sitting down together and me instructing them again, taking the old, old, ancient truths, making them new in their life again. The Lord's had to do that for me so many times. I hate to admit how many times. And I'm not talking about years. I've been saved 20 26 and a half, almost 27 years. I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm talking about in recent years having to say, Brother Mike, and come to the Lord and say, I'm talking about as a pastor and a preacher and a man of God, teach me again, Lord. Lord, I feel it creeping in. Lord, I feel that hardness. I feel that tendency to turn. Lord, teach me again. Boy, I'm glad any time I've ever turned to Him and said, teach me again, Lord. I'm telling you this morning, there's joy in my soul. Amen. I'm excited to be on the Lord's side. I'm excited to be saved. I'm blessed today by what this book said. I sat with our young folk on Friday night. Amen. And got to teach them the Word of God. And I'm telling you, I told Miss Kate, it felt like it went on too long, but I couldn't even stop because it was new and it was fresh in my heart. Amen. I was excited about, amen, what God had showed me and getting to show it to somebody else. And there are times that we have to say, teach me again, Lord, because if you don't, I'm going to make a mess out of my spiritual life. I don't want to live cold on God. I don't even want to live lukewarm on God. Live my life. Teach me again, Lord. And it be fresh, fresh, fresh. Amen. Let's stand together.